Welcome to the 75th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm Quizmaster Lee, joined by Quizmaster Mark Davis.
Hello. I was looking at you thinking maybe you would ask me to introduce myself because you did that one time and now I'm on high alert.
I did it once and never again.
Good. That's
until
fine.
Until you're least expecting it.
I was listening to a podcast the other day and they introduced each other and I thought that was cute.
Oh, nice. It's
like, this is Quizmaster Lee.
To my front. And Quizmaster Mark to my front.
Hey.
Mark, we have a very serious discussion to have right out of the gates here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So your first question of our last episode.
Yeah.
You might remember it.
I think I do.
Yeah.
And it's bad timing.
It was really bad timing because we recorded on a Saturday.
Yep.
And the
day before what is a very...
We'll call it Bengal Sunday.
The day that will go down in infamy is Bengals Sunday, capital B, capital S.
When they won their first game, thereby depriving you of the glory of a decent first question on our podcast because it was kind of obsolete by the time the episode aired.
Did you get any feedback from it?
I did not, except from my own mind. Okay. My own mind was yelling at me, basically.
I'd like to think that our listeners know that we record before the episode airs.
Right.
And that it was a good question.
It was that's the thing. It's a good question, I think, for live trivia.
Yeah.
For the podcast, it is not timeless, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
In a month, people will be like, who cares, I think. So true. The listeners this week, you know, are probably fine with it because the ones that care about sports were probably like, oh, that's kind of funny. You know, like they ended up winning. It reminded me of that moment on Lost, actually, when Jack is, well, you didn't see it, but there's a scene where Jack is like, you know, kept isolated, and he makes some joke about how the Red Sox will never win the World Series, and they actually did win that year. So the character got to show the footage to Jack in isolation, be like, they did win. Anything's possible, you know. It reminded me a little bit of that. But I had this feeling like one time you asked, like, what is the premiere date of, like, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, there was a
And I just, if I could just
I remember you taking umbrage with that, yeah.
More timeless questions for the
podcast. I'll try and remember.
For live trivia, I totally get it because it's like, are you keeping up? What's
going on? It
happens,
and then and then it goes off into the ether.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try to make mental note of it.
Thanks, bud. Thank you.
Because generally I go through and I'm like, what questions sound good? And I'll see a sports question and I'll be like, ooh.
Lee won't know this.
Yeah, this will be juicy. Let's see if Lee's been keeping up. So
yeah, I should have gotten that one right, too. Well, anyways, we've got a brand new set of questions for you.
Indeed.
Today, listeners. But first, let's take a look at our weekly wrap up.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So on Monday, December 2nd at the Palace, it was pure domination by the Wet Boys. Taking all rounds and the overall victory, logging our fifth highest score ever, 126 points.
Oops.
Did
we do that?
You're not sorry. And then, let's see here. Trivia Newton John was
once
there
again,
nipping at your heels each round, but...
Fucked around and caught a triple-double.
Yeah. You guys are on a streak there.
Yeah.
Might we see you on Monday?
No.
Oh.
I have rehearsal.
Streak
they may
over.
Go.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, we've been trying to make it more of a, you know, I was like, come on, guys. Let's get together. Let's trivia. And then we just ended up having a decent night. So.
Like we did last year.
Yeah.
Monday night trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza in your absence?
Yeah, they weren't my teams.
Yeah.
Or did you do Tuesday?
No. Gather, we're on hiatus until 2020. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, okay. Yep. Fantastic.
Just taking the holiday month off.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, I was bathing, I was basking in the presence of Mavis Staples, of the famous Staples Singers, watching her, and it was very, very good. But meanwhile, Jamie Carmichael was emceeing for me at Nice Guys, and the teams did well. Zach's team, Mark will be back next week. But he's out diddling Baby Yoda.
Wrong.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know.
How
I'm
dare
sorry.
You?
I apologize.
Do that to our Lord and Savior.
He is so cute. The new meme of him, and it said, tries very hard, and he's squinting his eyes really hard, is is very, very cute, and it's always in, on my mind.
I saw one on Twitter that was, you know, the video of the fish being loaded into the fish transport system and being shot out into the lake?
Yes.
So it was that, and they were loading Baby Yoda into it.
Oh, no.
And launching him into the Twin Towers, and I just thought
Jesus
to myself...
Christ.
I just thought to myself, I've been on the internet for too long.
This is the internet.
This doesn't even spark a reaction in
this
me
This is
anymore.
America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, lay off the memes, kids. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, so Zach's team defeated them by 4 points with 40 points over. I don't know what Jamie's team or what Fletcher and Kristen's team name was. Again, I wasn't there. But
some parody.
Yeah, something.
Some dirty parody.
Something about sex. Something dick. Something.
Well, Mark, on Thursday, December 5th, I asked your Dungeons & Dragons question for the final question.
And now you can tell
question.
The world what it is.
It was the question was, what does THACO stand for?
From the first edition Dungeons & Dragons.
And I know you're curious about how the teams did, about yes. a third of the teams playing it, including the Squeaky Chairs, Funoku, and As You Wish. They all got it right.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Proverbial Lightkeeper Dylan's team almost got it right. They got 4 out of the 5, which is about my performance when you ask me what it was. The answer that they submitted was to hit armor class order.
Oh.
But the O in THACO
is actually a zero.
It's
yes.
a zero. To hit armor class zero. So close. So yes. close. By the way, Dylan told me that... He came into the game after 3.5, so that is from before that time in the game.
Yep.
And he also told me that he was helping out the Peanut the Dog is canceled team and not to tell Team Moist that. Oops.
Wow.
Oops. Telling on ya.
Wow.
That's right. The first round went to that team, their moniker for the evening being Peanut the Dog is pro-apartheid. The second round was won by anyone named Matt and the Unsqueaky Chairs. As You Wish took the overall victory with 116 points, as well as the third round.
Beautiful.
Yep.
I'm glad, you know, one third I feel is a good answer rate. That I yep. feel is, if you've got one third, I feel like that's the sweet spot for a good question.
I agree. Good. Half, you're like, okay, I did all right.
Yeah.
I stumped half of them. But a third, there's some special minds
some
in the audience.
Some good magic there. Yeah. And this also is a special lesson to learn your roots, to know your roots. If you get into 3.5 Dungeons & Dragons, that's fine. But you should really go back and know, you know, where it all came from.
Oh, Mark's a true player. This
know
is,
that
talking
fact,
about true
though.
Players.
Yeah, well, yeah. don't
it is important
test
in
me
trivia.
Too much. Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then on Saturday, we had our Rick and Morty trivia at number 3, Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. Team currently in the lead, maintained the lead through the entire event. Well, actually, they had kind of a slow start, but ended up winning the second and third rounds, as well as 86 points overall, beating other teams such as Can Do, Water Tea, Ants in Our Eyes Johnson's, The Simpsons, and of course, they beat the team going by I Don't Watch Rick and Morty. Congratulations to them. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, on December 9th, we'll be back at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Free bottles of wine for our round winners. Categories for that quiz will include cats and dogs, chemistry, U.S. history, video games, wine, the Boston Red Sox, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about The Mandalorian.
There you go.
Selected by Trivia Newton John. On December 11th, you can catch Trivia at Nice Guys Pizza, hosted by Quizmaster Mark Davis. And then on December 12th, we'll be at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar. The categories for the quiz that evening will be 80s video games, psychology, heavy metal, sandwiches, the phonetic alphabet, Nickelodeon shows, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about Letterkenny, selected by the Squeaky Corner. We will return to gather in January 2020. But also in January, on January 25th, we travel to a galaxy far, far away with No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Star Wars Edition. We'll be asking questions from the entire universe of Star Wars, including the movies, the books, the TV shows, canon, legend, expanded universe, the toys, the memes, behind the scenes, and more. Join us Saturday, January 25th, for Star Wars Trivia at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. Mark, I got so hype on this quiz. I wrote the whole dang quiz in one sitting.
Jesus Christ.
21 questions. Bah!
Don't hurt yourself now.
I might go back and tweak it. I know that it's like a month and a half away, but it's done.
Jesus,
that's how,
man.
No, man, I was into it. I fell down a rabbit hole. That's how I spent my Friday night. You can find out more information about that Star Wars trivia and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No-Nonsense events are free to play. You can win prizes after every round. Join us. Won't you?
Why are you doing this to me?
Won't you? I just thought we could,
you
like...
You scared me.
I don't know. I just thought we could do, like, a little... switch it up a little bit. We always just do the one, you know?
I think the recording, you're going to just hear me just go, won't you? I was like, I don't know if I should be part of this. I don't know if this is just a you thing.
All right. I wanted you to, woo! Yeah, I thought we were going to like have like a little chorus line or something. You know?
Man.
Maybe I would do the percussive thing and you would go, won't you, above me or something.
Oh, okay.
Like we said, folks, always improvise. You know, never work it out ahead of time. Next time, maybe we'll... We'll get some jazz going.
Everybody in they're gonna sing along with us, and then you do that, and people are crashing their cars, airplanes fall from the sky.
Oh my gosh! Please do not listen to our podcast and drive, people. That's rule number one.
They're going to say, "Won't you?" What happened? Why is he singing it like that?
I hit him with that Baby Yoda in the fish tube. All right, we're gonna take a break, and we'll be back with some questions. Round one.
Have a trivia question. This is a trivia podcast, so let's get right into things.
I do. I'm going to try and make some questions up off the cuff, I think. I've got a couple things I got working in my brain.
Okay.
That I'm cooking up because I didn't do questions last week. I have my
were you going to say your suppository?
I was, but I meant repository, of course. I've got my suppository in and I got my repository in my hand.
You're a poet and you don't even know it.
I do. I do know it. All right, here is your first question. In Canadian football, this is not a timely question, so don't worry. In Canadian football, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers defeated the Hamilton Tiger Cats to win what trophy? In Canadian football, they vie for what trophy?
So in American football, we have rings.
Well, we also have a trophy. Yep.
Oh, we do.
You didn't know that.
I know the college football is the Heisman.
Yeah. Well, so no.
No?
No.
The Heisman is a quarterback trophy, right?
No.
No?
No.
Uh-oh.
So, all right. So the Heisman trophy is given to the best football player in college athletics.
Oh, they don't have to be a quarterback.
In college football. So, yeah, oftentimes it is a quarterback, but it's been a running back. And I think once... Maybe twice, maybe three times in history, it's been a defensive player.
Never the kicker, though.
Never a kicker. Please. Kickers can barely make it into the Hall of Fame. I mean, there have been, I think, maybe like two or three kickers or whatever. But the Heisman Trophy goes to just an NCAA football player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the college football team wins trophy-wise.
I think they get bowl rings. I don't think they get a trophy, do they?
They probably get a trophy.
They do?
In the NFL, they get the Lombardi Trophy.
Oh, the Lombardi
Trophy.
They
also get rings. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure in college they do get a trophy. And if I saw the name, I'd probably be like, why don't I fucking know that?
So for Canadian football, if the trend is to name the trophy after a player, there's only one player in Canadian football that I know the
name
of.
Vince Lombardi was a coach. he was probably a player too, but I mean, it was named after Vince Lombardi because he was a famous coach.
Gotcha. All right, so to name it after a person,
mm-hmm.
player, coach, I don't know anybody except one name from Canadian football, and it's a man who has a cereal, Flutie Flakes, Doug Flutie. So is it the Flutie Trophy?
The correct answer is the Grey Cup.
Wrong.
Ooh, it's quiet today. Well, in my headphones anyway.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We'll work it out. We'll figure out the mix.
Okay. But yeah, the Grey Cup.
The Grey Cup.
That is what it is called.
Is that named after an individual, do you know? Or?
I don't know. Hmm. No.
Is it E-Y or A-Y?
A-Y.
Is it gray in color or is it a golden cup?
It is a golden cup, I believe.
Very confusing.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's Canadian, you know. You know how they are. Coldest place in the northern United States or in the northern world is in Canada. So.
And also the northernmost regularly inhabited.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Place. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That. Mm-hmm. That.
Alert. Thing. Alert.
Alert.
Mm-hmm. Is the name of the place. Medical terminology is your first category. Horripilation is a vestigial reflex that shares its common name with a popular line of books geared towards young readers, which is called what? What is the common name for the vestigial reflex that medical professionals know as horripilation? It shares its common name with a popular line of books geared towards young readers.
Ah, and there it is.
Did you find something in that question, my friend?
Mm-hmm. You love a good clue.
I do.
I was listening to the last episode and you were like, what's missing in there? That because I was like, oh, that's a great question. You're like, it's a good question. I was like, it's a great question. You were like, it's missing a clue. I like to throw a little.
Yeah.
You like to throw a little meat in there. Mm-hmm. You like to throw a little bait in the water.
Yep. And this is a, you know, the first question. So I wanted to.
You go easy.
Wet the palate.
I forget that you and I, we go about this all different.
Mm-hmm.
You get harder as we go along, if you know what I mean.
I like you to ease into it.
Yeah. Robert Livingston Stein.
Is that what that stands for? Okay.
I'm going to say goosebumps.
Yes, horripilation.
Ding, ding, ding.
Goosebumps.
Give me my crowd. Thank you. I just can't stop.
Had to give you three.
Yeah, I'll take them. For all three goosebumps that I have. All right. Here is your next question. What mythical creature reputed to live in the hemlock forests of northern Pennsylvania in the United States is referenced in the song Any Major Dude Will Tell You by the rock band Steely Dan?
The hemlock forests of northern Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Mythological creature.
Yes. It is known to cry itself into a puddle of tears if it is cornered.
Cry itself into a puddle of tears if it's cornered.
It dissolves into the pool.
Wow. I don't know. It's not the Jersey Devil. It's a little more east of Pennsylvania.
And this is
Yeah.
The Pennsylvania Devil.
Yeah. The crying thing makes me wonder if it's like some kind of like I'm thinking about the video game Left 4 Dead, and there was like a wailing witch.
L4D.
Yeah. There was like a wailing witch enemy in that game, in the second one, I think. That would cry out. So I'm like wondering if maybe it's like a lady, or maybe it's like a baby of some sort. But that would be weird. A baby dissolving into a puddle of tears. I'm thinking a lady.
I'm thinking.
I don't know the Steely Dan song, so that's even though
you've
that
never heard the
there,
song.
What any dude will tell you?
Any major dude will tell you.
I might have. I don't know how it goes. I can't place it off the top of my head.
It's a really good song. You may have heard it.
Any major dude will tell ya.
Close.
Okay.
Any major dude with half a heart to live in, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Badoo
badoo. Badoo. What Steely Dan isn't complete without a little badoo badoo? I don't know. The Pennsylvania Witch. I don't think I can suss this.
The correct answer is the squonk.
Wrong.
The squonk? That the sounds squonk. Like something I'm going to ask about at Rick and Morty trivia, or that I did ask about, as the case may be.
And it's funny because the session players playing on the song had no idea what a squonk was.
Yeah.
And they were they didn't want to let Walter Becker and Donald Fagen know that they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking to each other, trying to act like they had an idea while trying to like suss information to try and find out what a squonk was in the first place.
Oh man. See, sometimes you need these sus skills outside of the pub. Sometimes Indeed. You need them in real life.
I think the lyric is, have you ever seen a squonk's tears?
Beautiful.
Indeed.
Wow. Shakespeare is your next category, Mark.
Second rate poetry to Steely Dan's squonk tears line.
According to Shakespeare'sWords.com, which character by William Shakespeare has been given more lines of dialogue than any other in a single play?
More lines of dialogue. Well, in a single play, I want to say Romeo can't shut the fuck up. He's talking to Juliet. He's talking to Mercutio. We were just talking about Mercutio. Hamlet talks a bunch to that skull.
Whose skull was that, Mark?
I don't know. Yorick.
Yes, very good. Very good. Let me give you one of those.
I know, it's not even the question, but I'll fucking take it.
Yep.
And I remember that, you know how?
Why the Last Man, yes. I'm guessing. The comic book, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
More lines. See, here's the thing is like even short lines are lines. Maybe it's Juliet. I mean, just short, blah, 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 blah. You understand? Othello. I don't have a very deep knowledge of Shakespeare, and I've said before, I know Shakespeare has a very large, he's done a lot for our language. A number of words have been invented by him, but his stuff is now I more prefer like comment like newer versions of his stories than I do his stuff. It just doesn't really do much for me, which I know is like sacrilege. I caught a lot of shit for that.
Oh, whatever,
saying that on Facebook. Well, yeah, obviously I don't give a fuck.
Wait, you caught a lot of shit for saying, I'm sorry, that you didn't know a lot of Shakespeare?
I said something like we should pick one subject taught in school that is unnecessary and replace it with another thing that we should teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things I said is stop teaching Shakespeare, start teaching taxes and spending.
Personal finance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I stand very firmly by that.
That is very important. I'll let you know, we do have a program in the state of Florida called Finance Your Future. That is a personal finance course that's taught as a specialty in public school. Good. So the dream is alive. I think they are still teaching Shakespeare as well. So everybody's. Well,
I mean, trust me, I'm a musician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a place for arts. I'm not saying get rid of arts, but I mean, I know that they go to great lengths to fucking tell you about Shakespeare for 5 years. And it's like, you know, this stuff is alive and well in different forms. And I think that it's important to know like where it came from. Know your roots, as previously mentioned, but you know, do I need to read a fucking Midsummer Night's Dream again? I don't know. I'd rather know how to do my taxes. I'm gonna just say Romeo.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark. Romeo, not even in the top three.
Damn.
Hamlet would be our winner.
Oh, that was my other one that I said.
Yep, Hamlet. You're barking up the right tree a little bit. And then Iago from Othello would be the second.
I said the word Othello.
You did. And then King Henry V would be the third in one of his plays. But if you combine all characters, he is near the top, as well as Falstaff Which is a recurring knight character that he has in several of his plays as well.
Ooh.
So Hamlet would take the lead, though. Hamlet, the most, well, given the most lines of dialogue in a single play.
Should have gone with old Hamlet. Here is your final question of the first round. The sable palm is the state tree of Florida. And also, what other southern state? I didn't ask this last week, did I?
No, you did not.
I didn't think so.
What other southern state?
This one, Seth was on one. He fucking flew. He was at one end of the table. And I think like Kristen or someone had the paper and he's like, oh.
Yep.
This is the one that where Shaney was like.
Well, it's like a delicacy in his family or something. Oh.
The heart of the palm. Yeah, man. Swamp cabbage.
Right? He knows. He knows all about it. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it in Florida, and you're going to get it. It would make sense if it was a state that was close to Florida because, you know, just for the distribution of the plant itself, it's not going to like start crossing state lines and then repopulate elsewhere. It's not human, Mark.
Right.
But it could be somewhere over on the West Coast as well. It's possible. I don't know what the state tree of California is. I would hope that it would be a redwood. Because that is one that's endemic.
I did say southern state.
Yes. Okay, so not a southern part of a state. Got it. There is a southwest, but you mean the south on this side.
Well, I'm just saying the southern state.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't consider California a southern state. It stretches pretty far north.
Right, true.
It's not the south.
Right. So it's not California. I'll go with... with Alabama. I don't know why. I just feel like maybe not in Georgia. Georgia might be like the pecan tree, depending on where you're from. So I'm gonna go with Alabama.
The correct answer is South Cackalack, South Carolina.
Really?
Indeed.
Wrong.
That's for me.
Wrong. How does it feel to do that for yourself?
Not good.
Humbling.
Yes, I mean, this entire podcast is humbling. not a week goes by, Mark, that I'm not humbled, but I love it. It's great. I need more of that in my life, frankly. So it's
yeah,
good.
Well,
like you said on the Facebook group, taking the turkey leg is such a Lee move. And I was like, God damn it. Red. I've never felt more red. I couldn't even respond. Just like staring at my phone.
When you said it the other day, I wanted to say it. I was just like, God, it's just, I could just see you being like, I'm just going to take the turkey leg. I'm just going to bypass all this cut. I'm just going to take this leg and fucking show these fuckers what for. And then just feel like, oh, what the fuck did I do?
This sucks.
Why did I eat this fucking dry ass fucking leg? What the hell have I done?
Nailed it. Oh, man. Yeah.
I love you, brother.
You too, man. That Facebook group, though, tons of fun. We're going to have more content from that later on this episode. But join up.
Yes.
Search for No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on Facebook.
It's awesome.
I have a movies question for you.
All right.
For your final question of the first round. Which country has more winners of the Academy Award for Best International Film than any other?
What a great fucking question.
Thank you.
What an outstanding fucking question.
Thanks, man.
Something you never fucking think to, you'd never think to ask. A couple countries are coming into mind right off for some reason. India, I know, has a very big like movie, especially lately with Bollywood and everything. Spain, I'm trying to think. I know there are a lot of movies like E Tu Mama Tambien that was really big, Chocolate, stuff that's like in Spanish. But I don't know, like I don't know if they're like Mexican movies or Spanish movies or like, you know,
they're Spanish language, but they come from
right.
Different
and I don't, yeah, exactly. And I don't even know if they're like Portuguese or Spanish. Like I don't know, not to come off as like culturally insensitive. I just don't know, like what.
We're just a couple of white guys with a podcast.
You know, it's such a It's our, this is our podcasts are our heritage.
I'm going to ask you a question later that I asked my players, and Clemens from the Meat Cottage came in, and he was like, "This is the answer, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's the answer." He's like, "So easy." And I'm like, "I guarantee you that nobody in this room, like very few people in this room, are going to get it. This is probably like a 30% successful answer rate." And I was right.
Are you going to ask me?
I am going to ask you. Okay. His mind was blown. I said, "Never underestimate the stupidity of American public schools. Some of that shit, it just doesn't get retained. I don't want to blame, you know, the schools."
I'm very curious
like that,
to know what the question is. I mean, you know, even aside, it's just, it's how often you use it.
Right.
It's how much you care.
That's exactly what I was going to get to at the second part.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much, you know, again, music.
Yeah.
One of the first questions I asked Charlie Watts, the drummer of what famous rock band, it's like, it should be taught in schools. Every member of the fucking Rolling Stones, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, fuck Shakespeare, Rolling Stones.
Exactly. Like, you know, fucking come on. And in my mind, everyone knows Charlie Watts is the fucking drummer of the Rolling Stones. And I think no one got it, or like one team got it.
And to be fair, this would be one that he would know.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a little bit. So which country, Mark, has more winners?
Yeah, I'm saying like India. I'm thinking like India. I'm thinking like Spain. I'm thinking like Japan or China. But I keep thinking of these movies like E Tu Mama Tambien, Chocolat, and stuff like that. So I guess I'm going to go with Spain.
Wrong.
No, Mark. The country with the most nominations, 39 nominations, but only 9 wins, that many people wrote down that was wrong, is France.
Oh, France.
The country with the most wins, 11 total wins, and only 28 nominations, would be Italy.
Forget about all the white people.
The Great Beauty, which was the winner this year, was from Italy. Life is Beautiful, you might remember, from 1998. Where the director jumped up on the chairs. You remember that?
No. Nope.
You don't remember him? What's his name? Bellini? He like got very excited and like chair walked up to the stage.
Jesus.
8.5, a classic Italian film from 1963, Italy.
Truffaut. Was that Truffaut?
Yep. 1969, Day for Night, he won.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You got the idea.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers act like they forgot
about
Italy.
You know, it's funny, as soon as I heard, it's weird, because as soon as I heard international, I immediately thought non-white people. I mean, I know Spain is in Europe, but
right.
I was immediately thinking like India and like...
I think didn't it used to be called foreign film, and then they changed it to international?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a breather. This is a heavy round, and come back with some no notes.
No notes.
And then the second round. Welcome back.
Time for some no notes.
I can't wait. We don't have a song for no notes.
We do. We do the miscorrection theme, but we'd go no no notes.
Oh.
No 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 notes.
Okay. I forgot we do no for all the notes also. Okay.
Yeah. It's slightly different. It's tweaked. First, just wanted to shout out to Rumpelsnailedskin Efren. He wrote in to let us know that we were his top podcast of the year.
Mm.
He listens on Spotify, so they send him a little update indicating that. So thank you, Efren, for listening and your Patreon support as well.
Yes,
hope you're enjoying the bonus content that we've been putting up. Elise wrote in, "I have a new best worst answer. Crispus Attucks, a former slave, is known for his involvement in death in what historical event?" Do you know the answer to this?
I saw the question.
Crispus Attucks, a former slave, is known for his involvement in death in what historical event?
I remember the answer you put. It was terrible. The first thing I think of is the Underground Railroad.
Right. I think the former slave is probably driving you there, which, you know, Mark, at least you wrote down a historical event or something related. Somebody wrote down Abraham Lincoln as their answer.
Yeah, that is a terrible answer.
Yeah. Crispus Attucks, the first person killed in the Boston Massacre, 1770.
Oh. Yeah.
So that was another best worst answer that we had coming in from Elise. And then we heard from Ian this week. He gave us a rundown in our Facebook group of the anti-trivia night that was held at his local Virginia brewery, the Garage Brewery. Yep. So he said that they did three rounds, five questions each for this anti-trivia event. So the idea here would be that you're not actually trying to get the right answers. You're just trying to get the funniest answers. He says, round one, this was a traditional Cards Against Humanity round. We were given 15 white Cards Against Humanity cards to use for the five questions, while the quizmaster read five of the black cards from that game. They gave us 15 cards, so we had enough material to choose from for the five questions. So again, a standard Cards Against Humanity round. I think that would be that's pretty fun. It's not really trivia, but it might like kind of get the comedic sensibilities rolling.
For sure.
So I like that as an intro, and you get 15 cards. That's a big advantage in Cards Against Humanity.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? But I think that probably makes it a lot more fun, you know, for the teams playing. So I think that's good. Round two. This was a finish the lyrics round. Each question was a lyric with a blank in it, and the goal was to come up with the funniest fill in the blank. This was not using Cards Against Humanity cards. All freeform answers. I think that's pretty funny.
Absolutely.
It's like the Weird Al format.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you change the lyrics. Sounds
sort
like
sort of Mad Libby.
Yeah. Could use a Mondegreen, mm-hmm. you know, if you're familiar. You want to try
Absolutely.
One of these?
Sure.
All right. Here's my lyric. Finish this lyric. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh, boy. To be put on the spot. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Man.
I see my package you've opened. There's no more ink left in my pen.
See, I'm thinking way dirtier than that. I'm trying to think of something with like something about bending someone's mother over.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Your
something
mother,
about
I will overbend.
Over your mother, I will bend.
There you go.
I will bend.
There you go. Yeah. See, I need it's a sussing partner.
Yeah. That's why it's good to have a team, too.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Especially when you're writing comedy, having somebody you can pitch jokes off of. One of my favorite documentaries is, I think it's called, it's either 6 Days to Air or 7 Days to Air about South Park. You ever seen that?
No.
There's a lot of in writing room footage in there that shows them just kind of like pitching jokes back to each other. I think that's just got to be such a fun experience. And then, anyways, back to Ian's notes here on the anti-trivia. Round three, this was an acronyms round. Each question was a common acronym. For example, YOLO, DTF, or WWJD. The goal was to come up with the funniest long form of the acronyms. So, Mark, what does BDSM stand for?
It stands for Big Dicks... suck majorly from small dick gang.
Right, there you go.
Who
there
wants
you go.
A big dick?
I saw a meme recently that was like
boring.
Know if your acronym has been taken, and it was like BDSM, and I think it said big data security management.
Oh yeah, of course.
Understand BDSM. Practice BDSM. And then scoring, the staff at the brewery and quizmaster gave a point to the funniest answers that they liked. This also helped keep it fair, and one team couldn't play to one person's humor, as is commonly seen with Cards Against Humanity. Overview, the quizmaster was very happy with the turnout. There were 22 teams with more than 4 people on each team, so a huge turnout. I personally enjoyed it. A nice break from the typical trivia routine and something different. Great atmosphere, lots of laughs. I don't think
LOLs.
Anyone could complain about it. So that This sounds like, you know, if you're running your own trivia and you want to switch it up a little bit, this seems like it could be a cool little format.
I think we may try and try something like this. Jamie Carmichael was talking about trying to do something like this either at Nice Guys or somewhere around here. I think it would be a pretty big hoot. I think it would be a good time.
Yeah. Thanks for the rundown on that, Ian. It sounds like a great time. If you'd like to write us with a rundown.
Oh, hold on. We've got another one.
Oh, we do?
We do.
Oh, okay.
We owe David Holbrook an apology.
Oh, I was going to get to that.
Well, we should put it in here with a no note, should we not?
I was thinking when we did the Patreon thing, it's like,
well, let's do it here too.
Okay.
Because he made it a point to Snapchat me and tell me he was listening to an episode 2 weeks ago, waiting eagerly, money securely in our Patreon, waiting to hear his voice rapped. Yet, we did not rap his name. He thought, okay, you know. I just sent this money. Then the next week came. Still no rap. So we owe an apology. We're sorry. We're sorry we didn't rap your name.
Sorry, David.
We'll rap your name this time.
Yeah. I feel like we could have put this in at the end.
Yeah, well.
What's the difference?
Well, I just feel like with a no note, it's set aside.
So the snap is the no note, or you're just putting things into the no note that you think need to be highlighted? I mean, what are we?
It's a note from him. That we didn't say his name.
Okay. Fair enough. Sorry, David. I guess I'll cancel the special thing that I had planned for you later.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You have a
I mean, you know, whatever. Wow. Whatever. You know, you just you blew the load all over the room. Anyway.
Well, hopefully we're hard again by the time we get to the end of this.
It's fine. It's not even that big of a thing. This is a little tiny thing, but now he's got this and that he can look forward to.
There you go.
All right. If you'd like to write us with a rundown of your local trivia experiences, a miscorrection, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, for exampling, you're not getting paid enough attention on the podcast, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or Snapchat Mark and find us on social media. Let us know there as well.
It's Guard My Bed on Snapchat. Also take pictures of any genitalia.
You will?
No.
Did you say you will take pictures?
I said
you will accept them.
I will accept them.
Oh, okay.
But I was just, no genitalia, please.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, like, I will take them, like, present them, and I'll use my Snapchat to take pictures.
Take pictures of other people's genitalia and send them to you. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I got a question for you.
Please,
this round.
Give it away. Give it away.
Maryland.
Give it away
our
now.
Category.
Maryland,
yes.
Okay.
In 1985, the skipjack became Maryland's state what?
See, you're looking at me all cocky, but I feel like I'm cocky. But that worries me. Because you look at...
Ignore me.
Oh, I can't.
Just ignore me.
I can't, though.
You got to go to your mind palace now. That's where you should be.
It's
palace.
Already here.
Oh, okay.
I'm there.
You're in the...
I think I know.
Okay.
But I'm having second thoughts. Skipjack.
Mm-hmm. Where are you right now? What folder are you looking
at? I'm pretty sure a skipjack is a fish. I'm reading his face.
Pretty sure.
trying to get something from him. Fish. I'm just saying it real quick. And what a sassy face.
My
that
lips
is.
Are pursed.
I love it. Skipjack. Maybe a bird though is my thing, but bird just seems okay. Here's the thing. Baltimore, Maryland, Baltimore Orioles. We had a question that someone asked about birds. And we were like, oh, Baltimore, the state bird has to be an Oriole. You remember that?
I do.
And then I think that maybe it wasn't. I think like somehow the answer came out and Oriole wasn't the bird. Wouldn't it be something if you were looking it up and you found out that the bird was actually a skipjack and now you're coming back and asking that question now and you plan on fucking me? But I think a skipjack is a fish.
Very interesting, world's greatest detective Batman, a.k.a. Quizmaster Mark. I will tell you that this question was inspired by a question from this podcast, but it ain't that one.
Okay. I'm going to say fish.
Wrong.
Mark, a skipjack is a fish. There's a type of tuna called a skipjack.
Okay.
But
so
it is
not an idiot.
It is not from Maryland. And part, I'll tell you before I give you the answer, part of the reason that I liked this question is because it reminded me of your nightjar question. Because there's a certain degree of ambiguity about it. There's actually not a hint in it. But it kind of calls to mind certain things. And you start thinking, what is a skipjack? And what would it be? What would Maryland have as a state what that would be a skipjack? The skipjack is a traditional fishing boat used in Chesapeake Bay for oyster dredging. It is the state boat.
Oh, weird.
And exactly. That is the other component, is that you wouldn't think that states have an official state boat, but Maryland does, because it is still used to this day. It's actually illegal to use power boats for oyster dredging in Maryland. So the skipjack remains prominent, being the state boat of Maryland.
Okay. Here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Written while you were taking, while you were hanging a piss.
During our break.
Yes. No, while right here. What exercise bike brand was lambasted after releasing a video ad titled "The Gift That Gives Back"? Have you seen this?
I saw it in a bar from across the room, and Kyle was like describing the commercial to me. So I did not see it.
Okay.
But I'm familiar with it.
It has been catching a lot of flack.
Yeah, it apparently describes or illustrates a woman who receives this, and her husband, boyfriend guy is like monitoring her progress.
Oh, and here comes Kyle. She heard us, so now she's got to walk in here. Don't answer this freaking question.
I don't remember. I remember it being very short, kind of a short name, like maybe just one or two syllables, one word maybe. And maybe it starts with an N, and I'm thinking like Nordic Track, but I don't think they make exercise bikes. I know they used to make those little skis, the automated ski machine where you would ski your way to a toned butt. Mm-hmm. Is it like Nell, NEHL, something like that? That's my guess. Nell.
The correct answer is Peloton.
Wrong. I was way off.
Peloton. So in the commercial, before I hear the story, she gets gifted a Peloton bike, and she makes videos of herself biking, and at the end, and she's very, very nervous. She's very scared, and she pedals her way, and she makes videos of herself biking, and then at the end of the commercial, she cuddles up with her husband, and they watch the videos of her biking. Her and her husband watch the videos,
right?
Like, stream them to her TV, and they, for whatever reason, they just, hey, let's curl up and watch videos of me riding an exercise bike. It's been pretty amazing.
Peloton,
Peloton,
and hashtag not ad.
And the exercise bikes, by the way, are like nearly $3,000.
Okay,
so that's supposed to make you buy that bike for whatever reason. I don't see how or why, but
You know what I want? I want something that has like a 5x5 foot footprint in my house, judging me all the time. That's what I want to pay $3,000 for.
All right, give me a question.
I have an art question for you.
Okay.
What is the art term for the contrast of the dark and light values of a particular work as it relates to the composition, usually to create a sense of volume? Now, this was written actually as a spelling question. I'll give you that as a hint, because it's kind of a hard word to spell. So rather than just say, like, spell this word, you know, it's kind of like a secondary. You have to know the trivia.
I'd rather you have me spell the word.
Okay. We can move to that if you'd prefer.
No.
Do you know? I mean, do you have any inkling?
Let me hear.
Inkling.
What, so,
that's funny. That's a pun.
Yay.
Because we're talking about art.
Yeah, we're talking about art. So the dark and light values that are usually used to create volume.
Yes. So early art, it was really flat. A lot of flat figures. Besides hieroglyphics, even just like early European art, you might look back at it and think, somebody paid somebody to make this? No.
Right.
They forced them to make it. But anyways, there isn't a lot of care given to like make like a realistic portrayal of the Mother Mary and Jesus. It's like, let's just get the imagery down there. Mother and baby, here you go. Now read the story.
I mean,
and then in the Italian Renaissance, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Caravaggio, they all started being like,
Donatello,
let's start making these forms look Raphael, 3D. Like Splinter, we're looking at it, like imagine a picture, Casey like you can Jones, actually see it.
April O'Neil. I mean, the only thing I can think of is shading. I don't know enough art terminology. I think I don't know if
this is a term of Italian origin.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't even know. Is it a word I know? Like, are you sure I know?
I feel
it?
Like you might have heard this once or twice before. Maybe
once or twice in my 40 years.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like something that like Modest Mouse would have in a song, like a word, you know, or Bright Eyes. I'm sure some indie songwriter has used this word before.
Yeah, I have
I'm
no
almost
idea.
Willing to bet.
I have no idea.
The word is, I'm just going to give you one of these first.
Wrong.
Chiaroscuro.
I've never heard that word.
You've never heard that word?
No.
Oh, chiaroscuro. So like the shading on a piece of art. Yeah, the difference
so
between
shading.
The light and dark values.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like shading.
It is like shading.
Okay.
But it is the art term is chiaroscuro.
Never heard that before in my life. Huh. That's really interesting.
Can you spell it?
No.
You don't even want to try?
Chiaroscuro?
Chiaroscuro.
Chiaro, is it one word or two?
Chiaroscuro.
Oh.
One word. Chiaroscuro.
K?
Nope.
Wrong.
Perfect. Good.
You're just giving up?
Yeah. I'm wrong.
Chiaro. Scuro.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough one.
You could not care less.
I mean, like, I care, but yeah. It's a word I've never heard before.
I hear you.
You know, so it's like, all right.
Yeah, so if you've ever seen, like, drawings that are on toned paper, like it's not white or black paper, it's like middle tone gray or brown, and then they use, like, white highlights and darks. That's like kind of the first version of chiaroscuro that they did was like, let's just break this down to three values. You got light, dark, and middle, and we'll use the middle tone as the background.
Beautiful. All right. Here is your next question.
Mm-hmm.
9 of the top 10 coal mines in America are found in which state?
I don't know why. I just feel like Pennsylvania is probably, I mean, it's very big and there's a lot of like areas that could be mined. And I don't know why. I just feel like there's a lot of miners in Pennsylvania. And I think that that's an area that is more rich with coal deposits than, maybe anywhere in the Midwest or, the Northwest. So yeah, I'll go with Pennsylvania. Just also by geography, it's a big state, you know.
The correct answer is there is the North Antelope Rochelle Mine, Black Thunder Mine, Antelope Coal Mine, Eagle Butt Mine, Cordero Rojo Mine, Bel Air Mine, Buckskin Mine, are all in Wyoming.
Wrong.
I mean, what you said was right, but I was wrong.
Yes,
I had to
that's
do it to
correct.
Myself again. Yeah. Wow, Wyoming. So I was wrong. I was really wrong because Wyoming is a Midwest state. It's west of Pennsylvania, that's for sure.
Yes.
I've been looking at a map lately. I'm studying up.
Wyoming.
You catch me off guard sometimes with these geography questions. So
hey.
That's, for some reason, clicking more in my brain than chemistry. I've pretty much given up except for that video that we had posted. In the Facebook
group. Which I still haven't watched because I'm...
It's good. It's good.
I know. I want to see it.
Hey, we mentioned it again. We'll put it in these episode show notes as well. Until you watch it, Mark. It's going to remain in the show notes.
Son of a bitch.
All right. Now comes the question that I asked that Clemens from the Meat Cottage was sure that everybody would know.
Okay.
And very few did. We'll see how you do. Okay. World War II is our category. Which conflict took place...
He's German, right?
He is German.
Well, all right. So... Little bit of a okay
personal
connection. You know, just gonna say
not personal, but ancestral. Ancestral
watch,
connection.
Watch your wording, please.
Which conflict took place between August 1942 to February 1943 between Russia and Germany, resulting in an estimated 2 million casualties?
So I think I know. I know what you're talking about. I don't know. I know the name of it.
Featured in or profiled in a 2001 film starring Jude Law, Joseph Fiennes, Ed Harris, and Rachel Weisz.
2000 what?
2001.
Was that The Pianist?
No.
Oh, okay.
Enemy at the Gates is the name of that movie.
Oh, Enemy at the Gates. Yeah. So that movie's got one of the weirdest sex scenes of all time.
I've never seen
it. There are two sex scenes in a movie that have, like, creeped me out pretty weird. Mm-hmm. One of them is in 8 Mile, where Brittany Murphy and Eminem have sex in a...
warehouse?
It's like a factory.
Yeah.
And
industrial building.
And it's very quiet.
And gross.
And they're
short.
Standing up or whatever. And it's very weird.
That scene lasts about... 6 seconds too.
Yeah. And in that six seconds my skin crawled for like an additional 10 minutes. It is very, very uncomfortable. The other one, if you think that's weird, Enemy at the Gates has the other weirdest sex scene of all time, outside of like, you know, fucking any like rape or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where
you just mean awkward? Is that
yes.
What
so okay. All of these troops are sleeping basically like nuts to butts in a line.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude's a sniper. And this woman's like wants to hump. And she like lays down next to him and they like hump with all these like people all around him. And it is very weird and awkward. And it's like all silent and it's very bizarre.
Hmm.
Enemy at the Gates is a very good movie. It's like a battle of snipers. It's really, really good. So I
remember seeing like the trailer and stuff, but I never got around to seeing it.
So if I'm remembering correctly, and Seth, maybe I'll hear him yelling so loud if I get this wrong, but Germany was trying to invade Russia in like winter and they did not know what the fuck they were in for. They thought they knew cold. They did not know Russian cold. They went into St. Petersburg and Russia basically surrounded them. Russian troops basically surrounded them and cordoned them off. And I think it was St. Petersburg, and shot down any planes that were trying to like drop any supplies to them. It got to the point where German troops were eating rats because they were starving. They were dying because of the cold. They, you know, went through all of their rations. They went through all of their artillery. They had nothing. And the Russians basically just like froze them out, and it was just fucking insane. So I don't know what the name of it would have been, like the Battle of St. Petersburg or something like that, but I think that's what you're referencing.
Yes, I am. So you're going with the Battle of St. Petersburg?
Sure.
Okay. Very close.
All right.
Very close. It would be the Battle of Stalingrad.
Stalingrad! God yes. Damn it!
But, yes, great memory on the details surrounding that. When I was reading up on this, I read a report of, you know, some Russian officers were patrolling and they saw like near a farm, but somewhere in the city, a German soldier like going to the bathroom and then like shrinking away into like a basement. And the Russian officer said something like, yeah, we know there's like hundreds of, you know, soldiers down there starving, but like, why bother going down there? We can't do anything to help them. And, you know. Just brutal, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like we're not even going to waste our bullets to execute them. They're just going to die.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Describe...
Russians are fucking, they're intense, dude.
Winter is coming.
Yes, for real. Yeah.
Germany's first major loss in World War II, the Battle of Stalingrad.
Yeah. What do I want to ask you here? Okay. What are the first names of band members Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young? I don't know that I've ever asked you this.
Dave Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Stills.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to Nash.
Okay.
Neil Young.
Do not dare.
Nash. Now, I have an inkling once again.
Mm.
But I hope I'm not confusing it with another person. Maybe they share a name. Maybe Mr. Nash shares a first name with a Mr. Parsons. Is it Graham Nash? That would be my answer. Those would be my four answers.
That is correct. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Graham was right there at the back of the file in the Mind Palace.
For what it's worth, yeah. Graham Parsons is spelled G-R-A-M, and Graham Nash is G-R-A-H-A-M.
I did not know that.
So it's a little different.
Okay.
But I'll still accept it. I'll still accept it as an answer.
To be fair, I would have gotten the Graham Parsons spelling wrong. I would have gone with the Graham for the Nash. Well, would have.
Good. Stephen Stills.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
That helps because of Scott Pilgrim, actually.
That I thought you were going to say the alliteration.
It does. But reading that comic cemented that guy's name in my head. And I know, you know, with that project, I like his voice. I've never really listened to his solo stuff, but I've heard him in that because I guess out of all of those, I've probably listened the most Neil Young. Anyway, that's three questions apiece.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are we done already?
We done.
God damn.
Well, we still
have. Well, not done, but we still got to do the last round.
So we're going to take a little break.
Take a breather.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to come back with our final question.
Have a rate my question, so let's do the honor of doing the theme. We have a rate my question here from Dylan, proverbial lightkeeper Dylan.
So let's get in our mindset. Mm-hmm. This probably has something to do with us or something on the podcast.
Maybe.
Okay,
maybe a little bit. So he writes, "Hi, Lee and Mark. I'm going to keep sending these in until I get a perfect score and rate my question. I'm on a never-ending quest for the perfect trivia question." So he sent in a couple. The first one, I do know the answer to this. I'll ask it to you here. Played by Emilio Estevez, what was the name of the lawyer turned hockey coach in the 1992 movie The Mighty Ducks?
How do you know this?
The reason that I know this is not because I've watched The Mighty Ducks recently, but because I was on the Wikipedia page for them. Because you might know that here in Southwest Florida, our local minor league baseball team, the Fort Myers Miracle, was recently rechristened
to those Mighty Muscles.
The Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, you know, the sea creature, the muscle.
Yep.
We now have a local baseball team, the Mighty Muscles, and it's thrown everybody into
a tizzy,
you might say. It's a veritable circus down here. Everybody is like, "Oh my gosh, the Miracle! You got rid of the Miracle and replaced it with this Mighty Muscle."
And Justin Peterson,
my friend,
who's
Justin
been on this pod. Well, our friend,
yes.
Come on now,
our friend Justin, friend in the podcast and just a friend in general.
Life, IRL.
A real, not that this is in real life, but yeah. Anyways, our friend Justin. Yeah, he hates it. Me personally, I like it. I think it's like rather unpretentious. You know, we're a coastal city and we have the Mighty Muscles. That is our team. Miracle to me, always kind of struck me as like this kind of like corny, like underdog thing. Like, oh, it'll be a miracle if we win. We're doing miracles out here, you know, or like vaguely religious. So I'm like totally cool with this Mighty Muscle thing. And all of the hate on the Mighty Muscles reminds me of the Mighty Ducks. You know what I mean? Besides just the Mighty, it's kind of like, oh, here's this kind of like lame creature, you know, that we're going to use as our mascot. And I just think, like, if you were in the Mighty Ducks, would you be making fun of the Mighty Ducks for their name? Would you be that bully? Or would you just like support your local hometown team and just have a little fun with it? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of teams, a lot of like, you know, AAA or whatever teams are known for having silly and fun.
Yeah.
You know, team mascots and stuff. It's like, don't take yourself so seriously.
Right. They're making a comic book of this character.
Yeah. And you've
Muscles.
Got a bunch of kids coming out anyway. Yeah. Like, do you really need to? And Miracle, like, was that really so good to begin with?
No,
you know,
it wasn't.
The Fort Myers Miracle. What is the miracle?
Yeah.
What is it?
That's what I'm saying. It's got like this like underdog thing. Like, we're going to do it. They said we couldn't do it. And I'm already learning stuff. Did you know that we have 60 species of mussels right here in Southwest Florida?
Didn't.
I had no idea. But now, thanks to the Mighty Mussels, I know.
Yeah.
So it's paying off. So anyways, I was on the Wikipedia page for the Mighty Ducks. And so I just recently read the plot synopsis. Do you remember this character's name?
I know that I know this. And it's been a long time.
They say his name quite a bit in the movie.
Yeah. God damn. I, you know, it's so like, it's so on the tip of my brain. This is a really great question.
Yeah. I like this one a lot.
It's just one of those that everyone's, you know, you've seen the fucking, what's his name? I keep wanting to say like Donnie something. And then I know he ends up going to the majors at the end of one of the movies. Maybe it was the first one. See, this is going to be hard for me to let go. Because I know this. It's just a matter of time and me having enough time to figure it out, which no one wants to hear just a bunch of silence while I try and remember the name of the fucking coach on.
Who on the Wet Boys would you call out as knowing this instantly?
Jamie or Fletcher.
You think
Kristen.
They were here, do you think you would probably
one of them, I think, would at least help, you know, we do a lot of helping of each other.
Yeah.
You know.
So with the proper sus partner,
oh, yeah,
you feel good about this.
Can you give me the first letter of the first name?
Maybe in a second. First, I'm going to tell you, you were going with Donnie.
Yeah.
D-O-N is in this name, but it's not Donnie.
D-O-N is in the name?
Yes. Those three letters appear in that sequence. So you're honing in.
In the name or the beginning of the first name?
It's just not the beginning. It's
okay.
In the name. Don. First name starts with G. Thank you, Dylan. I feel like a cat playing with a mouse right now. This is great.
Thank you, Dylan.
Keeping the lights on, proverbially.
It burns. Holy shit. No more.
You don't want any more hints? What about like hints related to other pieces of trivia?
Like just give me
last name relations.
Just give me a minute.
All right. He is not going to let this go.
It's, I mean, I know, I fucking know that. Like, I don't know if there's like a line in the movie, but you know, Mighty Ducks 2, the girl, the female goalie is from Maine, and I thought she was so cute, and she was from Maine, and I was like, oh my god, like,
had a little fan girl's from Maine.
I thought you were gonna say fan crush, but you took it to that ludicrous.
I got ludicrous with it.
Mark,
the last name of this character is the former name of the city of Mumbai.
Oh, God. It just hurts more
I'm
and more.
I'm twisting it.
Yeah, you really are. Gordon Bombay.
Hey!
You know, I kept thinking, you know what partially was fucking me up?
Huh.
Gordy fucking Howe.
That motherfucker.
Gordy fucking Howe with his hat trick. I kept thinking Gordon, I kept thinking Gordy, and I was like, but it can't be Gordy because Gordy, I'm just thinking Gordy Howe, mm-hmm. But it was fucking Gordon.
Maybe that's where the character's name came from.
Gordon Bombay, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So yeah, that's a great question.
I like it. Fucking plus.
It's fun. It's, I mean, it's good for I think people of our generation. That might be a difficult boomer if you have a boomer crowd question. I'm just saying.
Okay, boomer.
You just gotta read
the
room.
Say.
So I don't know if I'm gonna give it a perfect score, you know.
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like even if you're a boomer, you know, that It was Mighty Ducks was such a part of the world that yeah. They named a fucking professional team after it.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to know.
Yep.
You ought to know. Is Mighty that the Ducks. Only one we're rating?
No, we actually got 4 questions from Dylan. The next,
well, let's do 2.
The next 3 are part of a set. So he gave us variations, you know, about the difficulty, which
okay.
I thought we could talk about a little bit. So he continues. This is the second question that he has. In The Lord of the Rings, excluding the one ring forged by Sauron himself, how many rings of power were forged?
Do you know this?
I don't know, and I had an idea, but I read the whole email, so I just thought if you have any guesses, we could start there, and I could tell you what I initially thought.
I think it's 3, isn't it?
No. I thought it was either 6 or 7, because it says, excluding the one ring forged by Sauron himself, how many rings of power were forged? And for some reason, I was like, maybe 6 or 7.
Well, what's the little saying?
Some one ring to rule them all. One ring to bind them, something, da da ba ba da, and then the bend
and
find them.
The darkness bind them.
Bind them, yeah. But anyway, he says, and he includes a second version of it here. He says, an even harder, I'm sorry, if you want to make the second question harder, how many rings of power were given to each of the kings of men, elves, and dwarves? Now, this is probably why you're thinking of 3. There's 3 groups there. And I was actually thinking this question for me is easier because it reminds me that there was the 3 groups, men, elves, and dwarves, that they had to, that they each got, I think, between 6 and 7. They each got a range of rings. So my initial answer, 6 or 7 for the first question, now I realize that's definitely wrong. Because each group, I think, got like between 5 and 7 rings or something like that. So the initial answer has to be much higher than 6 or 7. It's got to be a multiple of that, like 18 to 21 mm-hmm. or something along those lines. Excluding the one from Sauron. So then he says, an even harder version of it. What was the name of the master blacksmith that forged the rings of power in The Lord of the Rings?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I have to say that to me is like a new question. You're not even talking about the number of rings anymore. It's not really a harder version. It's a harder question dealing with the subject matter.
It's a harder
matter.
Question, period.
Yeah, it's a harder question of the same subject matter, but it's not really a version of the same question. The other 2 are looking for quantities of rings, you know, so I'd feel like.
Yeah, I would almost say that the first 2 are inversed in difficulty. I would say, what, like you said, when you're saying that men, dwarves, and elves received some number of rings.
Yep.
You would venture to guess that all of them received the same number. So it's going to be some number multiplied by three.
Yeah.
So it's I 15.
Right.
18, something like that.
I do think that they might have gotten different numbers, but I can't remember.
Really?
I think like the man only got five and the elves maybe got like nine or something like that.
Damn.
Well, we're going to find out.
That would make it more difficult. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, fucking no clue. I especially don't know the last one.
Yeah, me neither.
Gigglesworth is the name of the black.
I know it's not that.
I can tell you what it isn't.
Yep.
And it is not that.
Let's say, I'm going to say 20 rings.
Okay.
Given to the three groups. Because that would be it says how many rings of power are given to each of the king's men, elves, and dwarves. So that to me is like asking for specifics. So you have to have three answers. Kings of men got five, elves got nine, dwarves seven. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
9, 5, and seven. That's 21, I think, right? 14?
Yeah, seven? In all.
Yep.
All right, I'm looking up the answer now.
Okay.
So the rings of power. Da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Okay. Three rings were given to the remaining elf leaders in Middle Earth. Seven rings were sent to the dwarf lords, and nine rings to several leaders of men.
So 19. I knew one group got nine. I thought it was the elves, but it was the men that got the nine.
Of course it was the men, because they're fucking better than everyone, apparently. All rings of power are bound to a master ring, the one, which the Dark Lord had forged alone in secret at Mount Doom to control all other wearers, effectively ruling a dominion over Middle Earth. Now, can I find the name of the person who made them?
I'm going to say his name is Forger. F-O-R-G-I-R. His name, the orc Forger. Wasn't he an orc? The blacksmith? I feel like I just remember like an orc going,
argh! Rings of power forged by the Elven Smiths, also known as the Gwaith I Merdane of the Noldoran settlement of Eregion. I'm getting yelled at by geeks right now.
There's a lot of Tolkien in there.
They were led by Celebrimbor, the last scion of Feanor, who, of course, in the year 1200 of the Second Age, was persuaded by the Dark Lord Sauron, disguised as fair-looking emissary of the Valar named Annatar, the Lord of Gifts. So I guess the correct answer is Celebrimbor, which sounds like a drug that you go on if you have erectile dysfunction.
Try the One Ring from Celebrimbor.
Is Celebrimbor right for you? Talk to a doctor. Side effects may include high blood pressure, vomiting, jaundice, sore throat, pus.
Hey, what do you call what's Gordon Bombay's name when he wins a thing in Canadian football, wins a trophy?
Grey Cup.
Gordon gone gray.
I hate you.
All right.
When he turns 70.
He's
good. Girl Gordon gone. When he's an AFI song. Girl gone gray.
Gordon gone gray.
Girl gone Gordon gone gray.
All right. So I have to say my favorite of these questions is probably the number of rings for each one. Because the first one, you have to figure out all that information anyway. You have to know. You know, so I would say the first version of it is the hardest because it's the most vague. Like, how many rings total are there? The second question has at least the breakdown, so you know you're looking for kings of men, elves, and dwarves. That one I would consider to be kind of the easiest of the group, and it's my personal favorite. And then the last one, that is a great question for a Lord of the Rings trivia-themed night, but maybe a little out there for a general knowledge trivia. Unless it's like final question, Lord of the Rings request theme, something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely a Lord of the Rings specific.
Nice little set, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
So thank you, Dylan. And if you have a Rate My Question, you can send one to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Please and thank you. We're through our queue again, so we need some more. So send them in.
Last question time.
Yep.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
So, of course, whenever I'm in the repository, it's hard for me to remember questions I've asked you or not. So I'm going to throw you a choice, and I think the choice is going to be obvious which one you're going to choose, but I'm going to throw them at you anyway. You have a choice between sports or movies.
How can I pick sports, Mark? When up against movies?
I feel like the sports question might be a little bit easier, but maybe I'm wrong.
Mm.
Here's your question.
Okay, movies, right?
Yes. Silver Linings Playbook was the first film after 31 years to be nominated in all four acting categories. Now, this was a couple years ago, so when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
The following year, the year after that movie came out, what Christian Bale movie was also nominated in all four categories? So that would be lead actor, mm-hmm. leading actress.
Yeah.
And then
supporting actor,
mm-hmm. actress.
A Christian Bale movie that had an ensemble cast that came out shortly after Silver Linings Playbook, that I remember, would be American Hustle with... see, if you ask me the actors and actresses... let's see, who was in American Hustle? That would be, why can't I think of her name?
They were so good.
Yeah.
That you can't remember who the hell it was.
She's in The Hunger Games. She's in
The Hungry,
Mother!
The Hungry Games.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Lawrence Olivier.
Mm-hmm. And who else was in American Hustle?
There was
Hustle?
Someone else.
There was two other people.
There was another person.
There's a best supporting actress. I'm confident, though, that it's American Hustle. I'd be surprised. Maybe there's another Christian Bale movie from that time period that slipped under the radar, but I'm going with American Hustle.
You're correct.
Thank you.
The movie man.
Just out of curiosity, sports question.
What is the only NFL team that has their logo on only one side of the helmet?
Whoa. I like this, but I don't know. Let's see here. Only on one side. Mm-hmm. But why?
Be crazy.
I like to think that like the Buccaneers and the Raiders are just stealing each other's logos off the side of their helmets. Because they're pirates, you know?
Mm.
Maybe it's one of them. Now, I'm trying to think about, like, the logos and, like, which one would make sense to only have on one side. I feel like that's probably the angle. I don't think it's, like, an animal. Maybe it's the Bengals?
That is an animal.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, do they have a logo even, or is it just, like, stripes?
I think they kind of technically have a logo, but
it's not on their helmet though, right?
No,
their helmet so. It has like a custom design.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm just going to pass on this though.
The correct answer is the Steelers.
Oh, really?
Indeed.
Hmm. The little,
Pittsburgh Steelers.
What's it called? Not a Hackleon.
Halcyon.
Is that what that is?
I don't know if that's,
there's a name for that logo that they have.
Halcyon yarn? I don't know. When I looked it up, it didn't seem to bring any Steelers logo. The Steel Mark logo. It's for the U.S. Steel Company.
Hmm.
An asteroid is what it's called. Consists of three four-pointed star-like figures within a circle. The stars in the design approximate a type of geometric figure called an asteroid. a particular type of hypocycloid with four cusps.
Hypocycloid was what I was thinking of, not gotcha. Halcyon. Halcyon is denotes a period of time in the past that was idyllic and happy and peaceful.
Halcyon days. Yeah. That's why I was like...
I knew it was a dodecahedron or something. What would you say it was again? A hypocycloid.
Look at that little thing it's drawn.
Cute.
That's cute. All right.
All right. My last question for you. I had to throw a Star Wars question in. I was doing all that research, you know, okay. So had to pick one out for you. But it's actually a geography question in disguise. In The Last Jedi, the final battle scene was filmed at Salar de Uyuni Salt Flats, which are located in which country? One of two landlocked countries in South America. It's funny when you watch those movies, you know, you're aware that they shot them in a real life location. You know, they're all alien worlds, but I don't know. I never like with these movies, I never thought like, oh, where is that? You know, and it's interesting. Like they found this location and I went and looked at photos of these salt flats. Amazing. It's beautiful.
I'm trying to think of the landlocked because I know I've asked a question or we've asked questions about South America and.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a question we asked about, like, OPEC that was asking about South America. I'm going to go with Ecuador. I think that was one of the places that we said was landlocked, and it's one of the only places I can think of. Wrong.
Wrong.
Whenever I see both of your fingers together, I know I'm fucked.
When I make the crab motion, crab claw motion. Bolivia, the answer.
Bolivia.
Yes. The Salar de Uyuni Salt Flats in Bolivia. I'm going to post a link to some photos of this place because it just seems like crazy travel destination. Like there's actually most of the time, it's not in the movie, but most of the time in certain spots, there's a very, very, very thin layer of water and the sunlight makes it look like a giant reflecting pool that extends all the way to the horizon. So basically, if you remember... just looks like it would be great for like a music video shoot or something like that, you know, or a movie, as the case may be.
Raw, I'm going to give it to you.
With no trivia.
Raw like cocaine straight from Bolivia. They mentioned Bolivia and trivia.
Yeah, Wu-Tang.
Just like us, yeah. My hip-hop will rock and shock the nation.
Like the Emancipation Proclamation.
Weak MCs come with slang that's dead.
Something whoop upside your head.
Might as well run up to the wall and bang your head.
Oh, my bad. Like yep, I lost it.
It's okay.
All right. That was a Wu-Tang question. A Star Wars question disguised as a geography question disguised as a Wu-Tang question.
Indeed.
For the children.
That's just how we do it.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. Mark, thanks for joining me for the 75th episode.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. The third quarter.
Yep. You can check out the No Nonsense Trivia Challenges live on Mondays at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesdays at Gather in Cape Coral. We'll be starting that back up in 2020. And then on Wednesdays, catch Mark Davis hosting Trivia at Nice Guys Pizza at 9 p.m. in Cape Coral. Then each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That starting at 7 as well. Don't forget, January 25th, we have Star Wars Trivia at Number 3. It's going to be a good time. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. We have some wonderful things coming to you in the mail soon, so keep an eye on your mailbox. Yes. We just got some special things as a thank you for you for helping us out in 2019 with the podcast, and we hope you'll join us with your support in 2020 as well. Thanks to our quiz daddies. Tommy from the Electric Mutt. It's Tim from San Diego, Pat's Garden Service. Thanks to our team captains, David Holbrook, Rachel, Aaron, Kristen, and Fletcher. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Mo, Matthew, Nicole, the pit boss, Luke, Spencer, the chef, Hank, Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil!
It's Gil!
Gil! Also, thanks to Manu, Jeff, Efren, Stephen, Michael C., and Michael J., Christmas and Jolly. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group you can join as well. We've only talked about it a million times this
just
podcast.
A trillion.
Yeah, just get on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia podcast there. You can join us, our quiz daddies, our team captains, our proverbial lightkeepers, our rumble snailskins for discussions related to the no-no and trivia itself. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
And super finally, Kristen also shared one of those things that we were one of our most listened podcasts.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Kristen.
So thank
and
you.
And please
her.
Share with us.
I was going to say, so if you do listen to us on Spotify or whatever, I know there's been some people have been sharing some flack about how Spotify sucks or whatever, but for podcasts, we're not musicians, so whatever. If you do listen to us a lot on Spotify, make sure you let people know that you're listening to us and share. Even sharing stuff like that lets people know that you listen to us, and it is very, very helpful. So we do appreciate that.
Here's the thing. We do no ads on our podcast except for our Patreon. That's how we want to do it. We want to keep it listener supported. You to us.
Exactly.
You give us money, we give you podcasts.
That way we don't have to go, oh, we'll be back in the second round. And then you have to hear, you know what? Mm-hmm. I had a problem with my boners. And then I got hymns. Let me tell you about hymns.
Yeah, we're not going
to
do that.
I want to grow hair on my balls, so I take it. We don't want to do that to you.
We don't.
And that's why we do this thing.
Right. And so just so you know, if you hear ads on Spotify, if you listen to us on Spotify and you hear ads, that's just how they monetize the content that we give you. But you can listen to us directly on our website, you know, and if you listen to us on another platform like Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, please leave us a review there. I don't think you can leave us a review on Spotify, but we just love knowing that you're listening. So please do share that with us.
It makes us feel nice.
And yes, 5 stars only, please. All right. Until next time, no nonsense listeners, have a great week.